Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter tonight, the book of 1 Peter chapter number 3. We're going to read the first four verses this evening, and we're going to focus on verse number 4. Normally, I've just been doing one verse for our devotion. But I'm going to build up to this one tonight. And the women that are in here tonight, please don't go off and say, oh man, he's going to be talking about women tonight, being a submissive and being a subjector. No, I'm not going to go that direction, believe it or not. We're going to go a different direction, so bear with me as we get through this. So let's read these first. Well, good evening to you as well. It's good to see you. It's about time we had some amens from over there. Hey, I like those interruptions. To me, those are just cool. So, see, she likes it too. Well, hey, let's read these first four verses. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even in the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Tonight we're going to be dealing with a gentle spirit. Let's have a word of prayer. And again, ask God, as I'm praying outwardly, ask God to speak to your heart tonight. And we're going to have some questions as well. So please don't be scared. Get involved a little bit. That's how we learn. That's how we grow together, okay? Lord, we are grateful tonight that we're able to be here. We just thank you for your hand of protection that you give us every single day. Lord, I just want to lift up the Carey family to you. I know they're going through a great difficult time. Lord, even though we probably have understand what they're going through, but Lord, we all deal with these things so differently. So Lord, help us to be a people that are compassionate and will be concerned and will send a card or phone call or something, Lord, even a visit. Lord, I pray that you just be with... I just pray for his children especially. I just think of these two dear people I've known for so long. I pray that you just watch over them. I pray for Mike. Lord, I pray that you just put your hand of healing upon him. I pray for your will be done. I thank you, Lord, for giving me the privilege to know John for many years of my life, and I know he's in your presence tonight. Lord, as Phil so graciously said in an email this past week, he says, I can just imagine John and Wayne standing on the shores of heaven. And Lord, without a doubt, I know they are. And I'm thankful, Lord, for our salvation tonight. But Lord, give comfort to the Prettyman family, and we ask it in your name. Amen. A gentle spirit. I'm going to ask you a question tonight, and please respond, if you will, please. I'd appreciate it. How does God see beauty? How does God see beauty? Julie? By what he embarks into us? Okay. How does God see beauty? Anybody else?
How you live your life to show others.
How you live your life to show others. Okay, Matt, were you going up somewhere?
What's in your heart?
Okay. We've had three great answers. Now I'm going to ask you a question. God sees beauty in a different way. How do we see beauty when we look at an individual? Excuse me?
By their outward appearance.
Very true. We judge people by their outward appearance. By the way, with that being said, I'm going to deal with it as we go on here. We should not judge somebody by their outward appearance. But that's what we do. That's what we're guilty of. And we can really cause some damage especially to a believer, when we begin to judge them by the outward appearance, if they don't look and dress and act exactly how we do. Because that's how we judge people, do we not? And we're all guilty of those things. But how does God see beauty? God sees beauty totally different from that of man. God looks on the inward part. Man looks on the outward part. God's not concerned about the outward appearance, but God's concerned about the inward appearance. And so if God's concerned about the inward appearance, should that not be the guideline for us when we begin to judge somebody? Would you agree with me on that? Folks, are you awake tonight? Okay, good deal. Man gets wrapped up on the outward beauty of a woman. And all the guys are just hanging their heads, not answering that question at all. I will say this. Years ago, we had a man, please listen to this. We had a bus that was stranded out here years ago. The Weatherfords, my family, and Bill shaking his head, they broke down here. They were a gospel group. Matter of fact, if you were to watch some of the Gaithers, you would see that family on there. Steve was their youngest son, and Steve was married and is still married. I check up on him from time to time. But I remember his wife didn't travel with us, but I remember we went over to the Great Wall, and we're having some Chinese food. I don't know why Dad would take six kids to the Great Wall, especially when I didn't like Chinese food at the time. But anyway, we went over there, and I remember a young lady walked in front of us, and Steve goes, "Whoa." And I looked at him like this. I said, "Steve, you're a married man." He goes, "Yes, I'm married, but God did not make me blind." Guys, there are beautiful women out there. There are. But let me say this. Keep your eyes on your wife, okay? Don't get wrapped up on the outward beauty of a woman. I appreciate, and I know my wife, she's going to hate me for this for a few moments, but what I appreciate about my wife, not only is she beautiful on the outside, but she's beautiful on the inside. You know, I didn't see that for years. And I'm going to tell you why I didn't see that for years, because I'm telling on myself. I was more captivated on the outward physical appearance. And I didn't get to see how a beautiful soul that is wrapped up inside of there. So don't focus on the outward beauty of an individual, but begin to focus upon the inward beauty. Outward beauty doesn't always reflect the inner beauty of a person. Could we agree with that? Okay, let's have some examples tonight. I want some class participation. So outward beauty doesn't always reflect the inner beauty of a person. So help me out here. How can we elaborate on this just a little bit more? How they handle situations. Women tend to handle things a little bit better than men, because they begin to think with the gut. Is that right? Women think more with the gut. The heart, yes. I'm hungry. I just had a sandwich tonight for dinner. Women begin to think more with a heart. Men have a gut reaction to things. So I like that, how they react to things. Anybody else can come up with something real quick? Vicky? Guys have focus? Okay, you heard it here first. Women have antennas. Okay? Do they do this, Vicky? Take me to your leader? No, I'm just kidding. And guys are focused. You're right. You're exactly right. Women are able to, they're capable of seeing things that men cannot. Julia, had your hand up?
Men aren't emotional and that women aren't logical. It's just that women aren't.
Guys, would you agree that women are more emotional than men? Can I say this? Would it do us some good to kind of imitate that in our life? To be... It's so good to be back. I should just focus on verse number one tonight. But I'm getting at this for a reason, because women have a great outlook on life. And men, like Vicki said, we're so focused, and there's some things that we don't see that we need to see. And sometimes we as men, we need to have more of our emotions come forth. I think that would help us out a little bit. I'm not going to go on any further with this question, because you guys are giving me some good answers here. Number five, the point I want to make, unfortunately, we begin to judge people by how they look and how they dress. Okay, look at verse number three here as Peter's dealing with this. It says, verse number three, it says, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. Now, I'm not going to say what my dad has always said about women. What did he say? If the barn needs painted, then paint it. I'm not going to go that direction, because I was always sensitive to the women when they're like, Dad, I can't believe he said those things. But he was able to get away with those things. We focus on the outward, but we judge people by how they look and how they dress. Okay, I'm going to give you an example. We're more apt to go up to somebody that is dressed nice and have a conversation in than rather go up to somebody who isn't dressed up to our standards. Would you agree? We avoid people who don't dress the way we do. Why? Because we begin to judge them by their outwardness. There is a pastor did this years ago. I thought about doing this, but there's a pastor that did this years ago. He knew of his church was judging people by their outwardness, and he didn't really like it. And so he decided, and I don't know where it was at, but he decided one day that he was going to dress down before he got to the service. People begin to pull into the parking lot, as they normally do, but they noticed that as they're pulling into a parking lot, there is a man that was dressed in raggedy clothes, dirt all over his face, hair everywhere, just looked like a total bum. And nobody would go up to him during this time. As people's coming in, this is a Sunday morning, and people are coming in, they're greeting one another, but they're leaving this individual alone. They won't come up to him. Well, the time came for the service to start, and the songs begin to go as they normally do. And it came time for the pastor to get up and do the service, and people were looking around, where is pastor? He wasn't in his normal place, where he's normally at. And people are beginning to question, is pastor sick? Is he okay? Where is he at? Normally he's up here, and there's just a lot of commotion going on. And out of nowhere, in the back, that old man that was out in the parking lot in the raggedy clothes, the dirt face, messed up hair, looking like a bum, comes walking into the pulpit and addresses the church. That was the pastor. He sat out there for a good half hour, and nobody, because of how he was dressed, because how he looked, they would not approach him. The moral of the story of this is this. That individual, if that was a real person who had real needs at that point in time, could have gone to hell, because we judge somebody by their outward appearance. We're all guilty of those things. And it was a great lesson for his church to learn this. By the way, your standard of dress is not going to measure up to my standard of dress. My standard of dress is not going to measure up to your standard of dress. Why am I saying that? Because we all have different convictions. But just because we have those different convictions, and just because we dress just a little bit different than somebody else, doesn't give us a right to go and judge that individual and say they have a wicked heart. But that's what we do. We condemn people. We judge people how they look. And we're wrong for doing those things. Just because I'm up here in a sport coat and tie doesn't make me better than anybody else here. But we judge people by how they look. And we try to get them to dress to our standard. I remember years ago, there was two girls in this church that all they ever wore was jeans to church. And we tried as a church to get them to dress to our standard, and now they have nothing to do with church. Why? Because we judged them. Folks, we ought to be concerned about the inward beauty of a person and not judge them because of their clothes. I want you to think about that for a moment. We're guilty of those things. Yes, ma'am.
You know, you're hitting a spot with me here that not only are their convictions different, but God grows people differently.
Yes. Exactly. It's not our job. Thank you for saying that. It's not our job to change the individual. If we do that, then we're playing the Holy Spirit. It's God's job. Amen? By the way, did Jesus wear a suit? No. He didn't wear a tie. But this is anyway, that's a different subject. But in our circle of women, I'm moving on here. In our circle of women, they are attacked for their style of dress. They're attacked for how they wear their hair. They are attacked even if they wear makeup. By the way, there's nothing wrong with how a woman wears her hair. That's her choice. That's her prerogative. If she wants to put makeup on, that's her choice. That's her prerogative. That's not my choice. By the way, we're living in a world today where men are wearing makeup. I forget where I was at. I think we're in Florida. I saw somebody like, dude, no, dudette. No, what? You know, we're living in a different world. But even though they dress differently, here's what we need to consider. They still have a heart. They still have a soul. They still have a destination. It could be hell. It could be heaven. I hope I'm getting a good point across. But our circle of women, and I'm talking about the independent Baptists, are attacked for their style of dress, their hair, and their makeup. I'm going to say this. Your beliefs, your convictions, are not always going to line up with somebody else's. You know what standard we need to go by? The Bible. Plain and simple. We need to go by the Bible. Not by your own personal thoughts, convictions, whatever you might want to throw in there. We're all, I love what Julie said, we're all on different levels. But here's what happens when we begin to attack people. Here's what happens. We become the judge. And then we think that we're automatically better than somebody else. The fact of the matter is, we're no better. We're no different. There's no sense in attacking others because of your own personal beliefs. Folks, we spend more time attacking others because of our own personal beliefs instead of actually what the Bible says. I heard a message today. If somebody's out of line doctrinally, then it's our job to go up there to gently rebuke them. Not harshly, not attacking them, but gently. Well, how do you gently rebuke somebody? Well, hey, this is what the Word of God says. And this is what I see, and I don't think you're doing this correctly according to Scripture. Gentle rebuke. No attacking. There's an idea that my father had that I tried to bring into my parenting, but I wasn't always successful. Never punish your child out of anger. Never try to correct another brother out of anger. You're not going to win them. But when you gently rebuke somebody, you'll win them. It happens all the time. Well, I shouldn't say all the time. It's successful. Verse number 4 is key. It says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of a great price. What's key? It's the inner beauty that is what Christ is after. That's what he's after. Allow him to do the convicting. Allow him to do those things. It's not our job to be playing the role of the Holy Spirit. We are not God. But yet we try to be God in people's lives. And we go around, we point the finger, we judge, we accuse, we condemn, all those things. Because we think that we're better. Folks, let's have a reality check. We're no better than anybody else. Amen? We're no better than anybody else. So allow Jesus to do the convicting. Again, I'm going to use my dad as an illustration. At camp, he used to get so irritated during invitation time. What am I getting at? Well, in camp, once the preacher's done preaching, you've had 3 or 4 messages throughout the day, and that's when you usually have a long invitation. Your pastor during that time was irritated when they tried to play the Holy Spirit and coerce the people down the aisle. Why was he irritated about that? Because when we begin to do that, it's not real. And I know that for a fact. Because I had a friend of mine, I'm actually going to see him this Friday. I had a friend of mine years ago. We're in the middle of a camp meeting in Michigan. I'll never forget this. I was with John and another good friend of mine. And he comes up to me, this guy comes up to me, good friend of mine. He says, Chad, you're mocking God. I hung my head in shame. I walked down to the altar in the middle of the service. It didn't mean a blooming thing to me. Why? Because someone was trying to play the Holy Spirit in my life. That's what I'm getting at. I hope I'm making sense. I know I'm kind of rabbit trailing a little bit, but that's how it goes sometimes. Point number 11 I want to make tonight is the woman's inner character is her finest adornment. Can I say that again so you can write this down? The woman's inner character is her finest adornment. Biblical beauty goes far beyond skin deep. Can I get an amen on that one? Biblical beauty goes far beyond skin deep. Turn your Bibles, we'll close with this one. Turn your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. Proverbs chapter number 31. It seems like I got to turn the whole world in this Bible so big. Verse number 30 of Proverbs 31 says, favor is deceitful. You look at that? Favor is deceitful. What's it say the next three words? Beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, what's that say? She shall be praised. Christ is concerned about the heart. He's not concerned about the outward appearance. How do I know that? The woman at the well. Does that ring a bell? By all means, just because she's the woman at the well and what he already knew, he probably shouldn't have went there. Her dress probably wasn't up to his standards. He knew by going there that even the disciples would probably accuse him of something, or even anybody else that was around, they would accuse him of why are you there? Jesus wasn't concerned about what the disciples were going to say. He wasn't concerned about what anybody else is going to say, if they're going to be negative towards him. You know what Jesus was concerned about? Jesus was concerned about her soul. And he wanted that ugly heart that was so deceitful, so wicked, so dirty, so polluted, to be changed. That's what Jesus is after. Amen? Beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. I'm going to say something tonight. I said it Sunday. If you would have watched where I was at Sunday, I know a few of you folks did. But I learned something this week that I want to pass on, because if I don't say it now, I'm going to forget about it. What's the opposite of fear? Think about this for a second. What's the opposite of fear? Love. Love. Think about that. Let that sink in a little bit. I might do a sermon on that later on. Well, our time has come to an end tonight. I'm going to have a word of prayer. I hope this has been encouraging to you. I thank you for your input. Again, I won't be here this Sunday morning. I'm going to be spending one more Sunday over at Twin Cities to be helped to Pastor Josh Prettyman. Brother Mike Current is going to be in town this Sunday, going to be taking the services. He's excited to be here, so looking forward to that. Next week, we will be back to our normal, hopefully. I'll be back in here. We'll resume everything. Please be here Sunday night as well. I'm looking forward to Sunday night. God has really laid something on my heart that I'm really excited about, to give a charge to you folks for the year to come. This is our last service for this year. You won't have to hear me preach for a whole nother year. Amen? And I won't have to see some of you folks for a whole nother year. It'll be like a vacation. But be here Sunday morning. I'm looking forward to that, hearing what Mike is speaking about. And I'm really looking forward to Sunday night. I didn't mention this. I was thinking about a couple weeks ago, I said something about a soup dinner here at church. And I've yet to give a date. Well, I have come up with a date, magically come up with a date. I looked in the calendar and I was like, holy cow, there's all kinds of dates in January that we can put for a soup night. There's all kinds of dates in February that we can do something just fun. But we're not going to wait for February, because February is kind of stolen by Valentine's Day, the only time of the year where guys might do something nice for their wife. But anyway, I hope that's not the case. But anyway, January 15th, right after the services, we'll just have our soup across the way. Amen? Sound like a good time? Is this going to be a contest? Hey, if somebody eats your soup and they don't get sick, you win. Okay? But we'll have some soup and sandwiches. So, Jeff, you're up in the back there tonight. And, Kurt, I see you in here. Would you guys close us out in a word of prayer? Again, please remember Mike, his family. Remember the Prettymans. Remember Jeff and I as we travel this weekend. It's going to be a long, long jaunt. We might get sick of each other during that time. Hopefully not. But he's just kind of rolling his head back there. But, Kurt, would you start us off, and Jeff, would you close us?